Blog Talk Radio.
If it's smooth jazz, then the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds are talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz, your place for all things smooth. Artist.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello there.
Bonnie James, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you guys.
Layla, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Music.
This is the Jazz Queen with the Smooth Jazz News Minute.
With the smoothest show on internet radio, your hosts, the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds.
Hello and welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz. Anita, I think you have to turn off your volume on your computer.
I'm doing that right now.
Okay. All right. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz. This is Terry, a.k.a. the Jazz Queen, your host, along with Mike Reynolds. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great today, sir. I'm doing all right. How you doing out there in Vegas?
Doing very well, thank you. Doing very well. Let me welcome to the chat room Anisha and a guest, and Joe from Germany. Welcome to the chat room. If you would like to join us in the chat room, please go to TalkingSmoothJazz.com. Click on the TSJ Radio Show page and then the Play Chat button underneath the Andre Delano show. And we have a brand new toll-free number for you to call in on to talk to Mr. Delano. The number is 1-877-455-6680, 877-455-6680, if you'd like to call in. Our guest today is saxophonist, singer, and Andre Delano. He has been coined the new face of smooth jazz. His music has been described as smooth soul, a new genre encompassing an appeal to smooth jazz, R&B, and urban AC. His music has received rave reviews from the LA Times, Dave Koz, Jazz Times, Smooth Jazz News, ContemporaryJazz.com, and Music Connection. His latest CD is called My So Fine. Andre Delano, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thank you. Thank you, Terry. How you doing, Mike?
Doing good, Andre. Doing good.
Okay.
Man. Just glad to have you on. Listen to this music.
Right on, man. Right on. Yeah, Terry, you make it sound so impressive. You know, I was actually impressed by the introduction.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
It made me want to know, who is Andre Delano?
Well, who is Andre Delano? But let's start with, because Anita Ross is our fan co-host, she is a huge fan of...
Hello?
Uh-oh. It looks like Terry's being cut off and everything, but like Anita Ross is a huge fan of Andre's, and Anita, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm still here, Mike.
Okay, great. So, yeah, but Andre, like, Anita's a huge fan of yours. As you know, she always comes out to your show, talks about you a lot and everything. So, Anita, we're going to get you to ask the first question.
Oh, she starts it off. Okay, let's go.
Yes, yes.
Yes, I am starting it off. So, Andre, what actually inspired you to play saxophone at an early age? Was it to actually get the girls?
It's always about the girls.
Yeah, the tough question right up front, huh?
Yes.
Well, to be very honest, my cousin played saxophone, and my father would take me over to his house every weekend. You know, his brother's son, basically. So, you know, I would go over to the house. You know, I was like 7 or 8 years old, and I would, you know, he would be in the basement with his girlfriend, and he would be playing to his girlfriend in the basement. So, you know, like I say, 7, 8 year old. I go downstairs. I'm looking at him play to his girlfriend, and she is absolutely melting. I mean, just like, I mean, it's hard for her to like sit up straight. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So I didn't, you know. So I'm watching this, and you know, he's playing to her. He's doing his thing, and all of a sudden, she leans over to him and whispers, "Kenneth, can you tell your little cousin Andre to go back upstairs?" And I was just like, oh my goodness, are you serious? Yeah, I mean, whatever you're doing has this much power. I need to leave the room. So based on that, I went home and I told my mom that I wanted to play saxophone. And, you know, maybe 2 weeks later, she went out and they bought a sax and stuff like that. And, you know, when I was looking at him playing it, it looked really, really cool. And the first time I tried to blow it, it sounded like, yeah, I mean, you know, it just really sounded terrible. And all those keys, and it was so heavy. It was really bigger than I was. So, like, you know, and then 2 weeks later, I was like, you know what, Mom, I don't think I want to play the saxophone. And so she was like, look, we bought this saxophone for you. You're going to play it if I have to hold it up to your mouth while you do. So thanks, Mom.
Look, you were crapping the girlfriend's style. That's why she wanted you to leave. You was cramping her style.
Yeah, well, see, yeah, I realize that now. I just knew it was some of an urgent matter that I leave the basement.
You said urgent matter.
Yeah, well, wow. Urgent matter that I get up out the basement. There was something I wasn't supposed to see.
Well,
now after that, you know, you went on to go to you St. Louis High School, where you were in the musical class, and you guys were the top band in the city.
Well, let's correct that, because during the time I was in East St. Louis, the school was called East St. Louis Lincoln High School, because there actually was an East St. Louis Senior High School, and that was our rival. So, you know, you can't, you know, people from East St. Louis will be looking for Mike Reynolds to cut you. So, so let's make sure we say East St. Louis Lincoln. It's also the alma mater of Miles Davis. So it's a really prestigious school for music. And when I came along, there was a musical director named Ron Carter, not the bass player, but actually the sax player, Ron Carter. And he really had the music program up and running. So by the time I got to the school, I mean, kids were graduating, getting full scholarships to college. I mean, the band was in the paper every week. They was winning all the competitions. So when I got there, I was just, you know, it was already so impressive to even be going to the school. And then to be a part of the jazz band was just really phenomenal.
Okay. I have a phone call for you, so let's take this call.
Okay.
Code 443, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello.
Hi, how are you? What's your name?
I'm Billy Ruth Bailey.
Hi, Billy. Nice. Welcome to the show.
I'm a very great fan of Andre.
Okay.
And the question that I have is, what artist, what jazz player inspired you also for starting your career playing the sax and jazz?
Okay. Well, how you doing, Billy?
How are you?
Good. I'm really good. That was a good question. When I first started playing the saxophone, I was introduced to a guy named Bunky Green. I had a Cannonball Adderley's album, John Coltrane. But the person that I really gravitated to the most was Sonny Stitt. Sonny Stitt is a straight-ahead jazz player, and a lot of people said that he sounded like Charlie Parker, but I definitely can hear a big difference in the two of their playing, you know, because, I mean, Stitt was really much more melodic, in my opinion, than Charlie Parker was, and I just really gravitated to him. And I even transcribed about, you know, I mean, 10 to 20 of his solos, and that's what I would really practice over and over and over until I, you know, could emulate what he was doing. So Sonny Stitt was a really, really big early influence for me.
Okay.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you have any more questions, Billy?
No. That was a question that I wanted to ask, and I'm listening in.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Good.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Cool.
Bye.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it's funny. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask Anita for her next question, but go ahead, Andre.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, Billy actually was introduced to me through the gig with Lionel Richie. I play with Lionel Richie in his band, and she's a big fan of Lionel's, and she, of course, would travel to different gigs that I was doing with Lionel Richie. And then when I got a gig at Sambuca's, actually in Atlanta, I think you're familiar with that, Mike, right?
Yeah.
Sambuca's down in Atlanta. And she surprised me sitting in the front row. You know, it's like I'm seeing her in the audience. I was expecting Lionel to come out, you know, but it was me. But so it was really cool. So that's how, you know, I was introduced to her. So that was cool.
Okay. All right. All right, Miss Anita, your next question.
Okay, Andre. Mm-hmm. Let's jump ahead a little bit and talk about when you were with Maxwell. How was that experience?
Okay. You know, that was a really, really cool experience. I got out to California in 94, and I was sitting in a lot of different places, and I ended up getting a gig with Doc Powell, the smooth jazz guitar player, and the guy playing keyboards with his group. His name was Darryl Diaz, who actually is in my band as we speak. He played with me last night at Spaghettini's. But Darryl, once Maxwell came out with his first CD, Darryl got the call to be the musical director for Maxwell. And because he and I had already had a relationship, he called me in to be, you know, in the band. And I didn't even have to audition, you know, because, you know, he knew of my playing. So I remember the first time meeting Maxwell, it was like he was like this little shy little kid. He had a hat covering up his eyes, and he was sitting like in the back of the room, and he wasn't really saying much. He was just watching everybody as they came in. And I didn't really know who he was really, because, you know, he just come out. You know, he had the big hair, but it was covered up under the hat, so you really didn't know, you know. And so he just kind of, you know, would like walk around the room and kind of look at everybody and kind of nod his head as if to say hi. And before you know it, you know, he picked up the mic and I was like, oh, okay. Oh, that's why they call you Maxwell. You know, and he just started doing his thing, and it was just like, okay, wow. You know, and I was really impressed with him because, you know, a lot of people can sound great in the studio, but, you know, he can obviously hold it down in a live setting as well. So, you know, it was really cool. It was really cool being with him. I mean, we traveled all over. I mean, all over Europe. I mean, of course, several tours on the States. If you look at any of that stuff back in the day for the BET stuff, the MTV Unplugged, I was right there behind him playing sax and singing background vocals. So it was a really, really good experience. I remember I couldn't get caught up in the hype. I remember, like, when I was out with him, and I didn't ever want to watch any videos. I didn't want to see any billboards, because when it was time for me to get on stage, you know, it was like there was a job to do. You know what I mean? And so getting caught up in the hype and all that kind of takes away from what you have to do when you get on stage. So you almost have to ignore that, and you have to say, well, you know what? I'm an artist too. I'm going to get up here and do my best to make this show, you know, the best that it can be. So, you know, but I learned a lot. So it was a great experience.
Okay. All right.
Now, I was going to ask Andre real fast that, you know, I know Anita went into the thing with Maxwell, but before that, before you went to LA, you had actually went to Jackson State University, and you earned a degree, and you had several offers to go into corporate America, but you chose to go out to LA to pursue your musical career. So, you know, do you kind of, I wouldn't say regret it, but, you know, what was the process that you were going through trying to decide between those two?
What a great question, Mike. A question that I've buried a long time ago. I'm just kidding. When I went to Jackson State, let's back up a little bit. When I went to Jackson State, I actually got a full music scholarship, and the reason I chose Jackson State University was because they actually bent the rules for me. Because if you're on a full music scholarship, typically you have to be a music major, right? But they allowed me to go to the school on a full music scholarship and allowed me to major in business, which was really, you know, the exception to the rule. So, you know, but I've always been a really good student. I've always, you know, managed my time, because really school is just time management, right? It's really not how smart you are. It's about, you know, once you finish your class, can you go study and can you make the A and can you pass the class, basically. It's just time management, really. But I, business, I actually ended up graduating the top of my class in business administration. 2 years prior to that, I did a co-op up at General Motors up in Muncie, Indiana. And so actually 2 semesters. And I realized at that time I was not ready for corporate America because, you know, I'm really kind of a rebel at heart. Anita, you probably know this. I kind of bucked the grain. So, you know, in Muncie, Indiana, there was some very interesting conversations that I would have with some of the coworkers. And one day I remember just really getting defiant, and I ended up putting on a dashiki and a kufi and for all the black people listening, you know what that is, African deer, and just mm-hmm. walk straight through the whole plant. And people will look at me like, what is wrong with this kid? What is going on? You know, but I kind of just wanted to make a statement because it's just like, you know, it was a lot of questions, you know. I mean, Muncie, Indiana, you know, to be politically correct, how can I say this? I mean, there was one guy on the job where we would have race relation talks, you know, like pretty much every day. And I realized that he was just uneducated about black people because, you know, if you look at the media sometimes, you know, what you see portrayed is not necessarily what it really is, as we know. So I was, you know, and so I was very patient with this guy, and we would have some talks that would, you know, I wouldn't say get heated, but they would get heated enough that if there was another black person in the room, they'd be like, Andre, I know you're gonna hit him. I know you're gonna, but you know, it was like I was patient with him, and I have to say he was patient with me too, because I really felt like he really wanted to get to know, you know, what black people were like. But anyway, to make a long story short, music had always been a very, very important part of my life. I mean, it's something obviously that I've done since I was 8 years old. And the spring break before I graduated Jackson State, I actually took a trip out to California. And I had a friend out here, a singer, who actually came from Jackson, Mississippi. And, you know, I came out, hung out with him for a week, and I entered into a talent show in L.A. It was in Inglewood, up to no good, right? Mm-hmm. So I go out to Inglewood. Me and my horn, we go out to Inglewood, and they're having this talent show. And, you know, it was cats getting up there singing, killing it. You know, so, of course, I was nervous. I was coming from Jackson, Mississippi, you know, with my horn, business major, you know, coming up here to do music, right? So I entered the talent show, and I played Gladys Knight's Neither One of Us and won the show. Mm-hmm. Won the talent show, y'all. So after that, I was like, wow, so I can come to L.A. and people can appreciate what I'm doing. And it kind of blew my mind a little bit. And I made in my mind right then that, okay, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come out here, I'm going to give it a shot and pursue music. And I haven't looked back.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Now I have another phone call for you. Area code 951. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hi, Andre. This is your City of Angels mother.
Wow. How you doing?
It's Reverend Linda.
Is this Linda?
Yes.
You know what? This is like an episode of This Is Your Life.
Yes, it is.
You know what
Hi,
I mean?
Miss Linda. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I just wanted to tell you how proud I am, and people still think you're my son. So
oh,
I take a lot
so
of credit
sweet.
for something I didn't do. But I'm just so happy for you, knowing that you're following your dream and listening to you and talking about how what a little renegade you've been. It's been an important thing for you to be. And
exactly.
You have to continue to do that, okay?
Yeah. I appreciate
that. All
right,
I love
Linda.
You
Thank
and the
you.
Kids are good and all that, I hope.
Everybody's doing good, and I love you too. You know, it's so funny. Linda, I got to tell this, guys. I was going to a church that really changed my life. It's the Church of Religious Science here in Los Angeles. And Linda is one of the ministers of the church, and she just took me under her wing. And, you know, it's so funny. While I was there at that church, I started actually taking over the congregational praise songs. So I would come up and do the praise, you know, ceremonies and whatever, and, you know, like right before the pastor would come up. And you know, me and Linda would be standing there. And so after church, people would go, Linda, is this your son? I mean, y'all got to be related. I mean, you know what I mean? And so she just really took me under her wing. And, you know, it's so good to hear from you, Linda. Thank you.
Hard not to love you. Hard
Thank
not
you,
to
sweetie.
Love you. And I'm hoping
you.
That you'll be down. You know, I live in Hemet now, and we have Temecula.
Okay.
I hope you're going to be coming to some of the wineries at one time or another,
okay.
And you'll let me know, okay?
I sure will. You know what? If you're not a part of the email list, if you could just go on to www.andredelano.com. And of course, this is for all
I'm
the
a
listeners.
Part of the list.
Oh, well,
okay.
you'll get the notice because they're trying to set that up right now.
All right, great. Okay, love you and look forward to just everything wonderful that's going to happen for you.
Thank you
okay?
so much. I do appreciate that.
Okay,
love
you.
Thank you for
Bye.
Calling. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, that was
wow,
so cool.
Wow, look
so
at
cool.
that. just when you think I'm gonna go in here and and have this interview with we're talking smooth jazz, and no one is gonna call in and no one is gonna listen. It'll just be me, Terry, Mike, and Anita, and we'll have a great time. That's what I was thinking, right? And I guess it's not an episode of This Is Your Life.
Oh, that was so cool. That was so cool. All right, so Miss Anita, you back? You okay?
I am, thank you. Everything's working accordingly.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get to some music. Let's talk about this CD, My So Fine. Tell us about the inspiration.
Well, everybody, always says that the saxophone is a sexy instrument, a very romantic instrument. And I really wanted to give my interpretation of what I thought sexy is as it relates to the saxophone. So, it's 14 tracks on this CD. Four of them I'm singing, and then the rest are instrumental. There's some tribute songs. There's one, a tribute song to Jackson State University. There's a song called Home Sweet Home. But there's a love theme within the whole CD. And, some of the songs are very reminiscent of, relationships that I've had in the past. That maybe didn't go as far as I would have liked, but they still ended very, very lovingly. And then, like I say, the other theme is the fact that I wanted to approach the saxophone in a very, very sexy and romantic way. And there's two songs that really stand out, as far as that's concerned, and that's More Than Words Can Say, and a song, I think track number 9, called Get to You. And
okay.
I always end my shows with that one. So, yeah, we can have some fun talking about this album.
Okay, well, let's start with Get to You. We are talking to saxophonist singer Andre Delano. If you would like to speak with him, please give us a call on our new toll-free number, 877-455-6680. From his My So Fine CD, this is Get to You.
Allowed to talk now. Thank you.
All right, that was Get to You from Andre Delano's My So Fine, a CD. And someone posted in the chat room that they missed seeing you perform last night at Spaghettini's. How did that go?
Oh, my God. It was awesome. It was awesome. It was packed. I mean, it was packed to capacity. And, you know, I have fun with my audiences. I don't like those shows where, you know, you just get on the stage and you know you're just a spectacle for people to see.
Mm-hmm.
My shows are very, very interactive. I mean, Anita can tell you that. Probably can tell you much more than you want to hear. But you know, it's like I really have fun, you know, with people, and I feel like people really have fun in my shows because they get into it, they get a chance to sing along, and then of course I walk through the audience. I ain't no telling what I'm gonna do when I walk through the audience, but and it's all spontaneous. Yeah.
Did you do a table song last night without me?
Okay, let's explain. First of all, for the listeners who have no clue of what you're talking about,
we should
explain what that means, a table song. Okay, when I performed, recently I performed in Sacramento for a breast cancer fundraiser, and Anita came to the show. And, you know, during the second set, you know, right after I sing, My So Fine, and I get into Get to You, you know, when the show becomes a bit more sensual, I go out into the audience. So this particular night, you know, and the tables happened to be pretty unstable.
Pretty unstable.
So I went out unstable, yeah. I was about to have a Beyonce moment, and I jumped on the table. I was singing the end of My So Fine, and the tables, you know, started to move a little bit. And of course, you know, I never show any fear. Like I could have hit the ground and would still been singing. You know, it wouldn't have mattered. But Anita grabs the table, and then another guy comes over and he grabs the table and stuff like that. So I finished the show like nothing happened. So Anita, she recommended that I didn't jump on any tables at Spaghettini's because she wasn't going to be there to hold the table.
Exactly. Oh, wow.
So I Anita, last night, rest assured, I did not stand on any tables, but I did some other things that you would probably not be too happy about.
Too funny.
I have a question for you from the chat room. Self-guided would like to know, who are your mentors outside of Mrs. Linda?
I have several. He may not know this, but you know, Kirk Whalum is really, you know, kind of an unspoken mentor for me. And I say that because when I first got to L.A., Kirk was doing this Bible study in Pasadena. And I remember, I mean, I was fresh out here. I pretty much just got to town, went to this Bible study. And I was so, I mean, could you imagine, I mean, sitting around a round table and there's Kirk Whalum, you know, given the Bible study. I don't know what we talked about that day because I was just so in awe that I was sitting there with Kirk Whalum. So after the Bible study was over, he asked me what I was about to do. And I said, well, you know, I'm nothing really. I mean, I really didn't. It wasn't like I had a full schedule. I just got into town. And he said, I'm going to get a haircut. You want to roll? I was like, are you serious? like you're gonna take me and I'm gonna watch you get a fade? You know, so he did exactly that. I got in his car, we went, and I sat there and I'm watching Kirk Whalum's hair fall to the ground in the barbershop. You know, and I just couldn't believe it. That just really kind of made my day. And then after that, we actually, you know, got together and practiced a couple of times, you know, after that. And, you know, he showed me the techniques on how he has such an amazing tone. And, I mean, those things you just don't forget. So definitely Kirk Whalum. Ron Brown, who's another sax player, and he, you know, he's put out a lot of gospel CDs as well as smooth jazz. And I remember him telling me that, if you're going to make it in this business, be prepared to do 99.9% of the work. And I have never forgotten that. I take that with me everywhere I go, because sometimes you know how you have people who expect you to do more than they're doing, and it's about them.
Mm-hmm.
I never approach my life or my career that way. I am willing to do every bit of the work. So by the time when I get to a point where I can ask someone to help me, then it's not like you're offended, because I would do exactly what I'm asking you to do, you see. So, yeah, those are two. I mean, my my band director in high school, Ron Carter, very instrumental. I mean, you know, I was a knucklehead kid running around with a curl bag on my head. We don't talk too much about that, but he really was the spark, you know, that kind of got my jazz chops moving, really, you know. And Michael Bobbitt, who actually started me playing saxophone, who actually showed me the fundamentals, and who is at every show in St. Louis that I go to. He has not missed one show yet. And so, I mean, I have several people, you know, to thank for, you know, because no man is an island, and none of us got to where we are by ourselves. So it's, you know, I'm very gracious, you know, and I give much gratitude and appreciation for those people who have been instrumental in my life.
Wow. Okay. I have another phone call. Area code 608. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hi.
Hi. What's your name?
Hi. Shelly.
Charlie?
Shelly.
Shelly. Shelly.
Yes, it's me.
Hey.
Good. How are you, Andre?
I'm good.
I thought I'd call and see about your shows.
Okay. Come on. Well, come on. Wait, what's your question, sugar?
Well, I just wanted to see when you were going to be playing in my area because, you know, I don't get out to Los Angeles much. So.
Okay. Okay.
I'm just trying to get you to the Midwest.
Yeah, I know. It's things have been very, you know, sporadic. I'm actually going through a lot of transition now with, you know, booking agents and managers and stuff like that. And, you know, a lot of the bookings thus far have been done by my, you know, with, you know, I mean, I'm actively looking, you know, for a booking agent right now. I think that if people come out and see my show, I don't think it'd be a problem at all to book me because, like I say, it's we like to be entertaining. So, I mean, just keep your fingers crossed and keep looking on the website. And when shows pop up, make sure you're there. You know what I mean?
Oh, so, I will do that.
So right on. Well, thanks for your call. I really do appreciate that.
Oh, no problem. Have a good day.
Thank you for calling. So, all right, bye-bye.
Now, Andre, bye-bye. Now, I'm just going to ask you. Now, I heard that each time, you know, you open up for a lot of artists out there, and I heard that each time that you open up for a guy, you always wind up selling more CDs. I mean,
we're not
going to
say that. Okay, Mike, are you trying to sabotage me right now? Are you trying to sabotage me and hurt my career?
No, but that goes into what you do, you know, with, you know, playing your sax and singing and, like, and really playing for, you know, the crowd, because the crowd loves the interaction and they love that, you know.
Yeah. I'm gonna tell you one show in particular that stands out among the rest. I mean, really, I had a show in Long Beach. This was a couple of years ago, and if anybody's listening from Long Beach, call in about that show because it was a show. It was a Boney James show. And I opened up for Boney James because the promoter, Al Williams, he and I were, you know, doing a lot of playing together because he plays drums and I was playing with his organization as well. And, you know, he put me on to open up for Boney James. And I'm telling you, from the moment I walked on the stage, it was amazing because, you know, his audience is the audience that I gravitate to, and I have to be honest with you. And the funny thing was there was a heckler. There was a heckler in the audience, and he was sitting like maybe the third or fourth row in. And I remember when I walked on stage, he was like, "Now who is Andre Delano? What is this?"
Oh,
like,
no!
He was loud, right? So I remember I opened up with Full Circle. So, like, you know, so the lyrics, you know, we get into the song. You know, I've been waiting patiently for someone to heal me. And so, like, after the first chorus, he was like, "Man, he ain't that bad." You know, so by the time this is the first song, this is the first song of the show. By the time we finished the song, because, you know, of course I broke it down, I kind of explained what the song was about, and, you know, and I find that a lot of men relate to Full Circle because I'm just really being honest about, you know, my dealings with myself, my dealings with the people that I've hurt in my life, and it's an apology for that, and I talk about, you know, kind of religion, my views on, you know, getting right with oneself. I mean, I just go into all that, so I find that a lot of men really relate to that song. We finished the song. This guy gave me a standing ovation after the first number.
Mm.
So wow. For a whole audience, I mean, now we're in an amphitheater now. We're in a theater, so people in the balcony are watching him. They can hear him. People sitting next to him can hear him heckling. So for him to do a 360 within one song, everyone else really just jumped on the bandwagon. So by the time we finished, I'm going to tell you this, and this is, I'm very thankful for this, but I was signing autographs halfway through Boney James' show. Wow. I mean, that was a great night for me. And Boney James, thank you for being so gracious. He actually came out and watched a part of the show as well. I got a chance to meet him. He's the nicest guy ever. He will probably never have me open up for him again. I hate that. I do. Trust me, I hate that. But it was an honor to do it, and I really thank him for that opportunity. Because, you know, he could have said no. He could have said, who is this Andre cat? I don't know him. No. You know, Brian Culberson came to the show. It was an amazing. I mean, Brian ended up. An amazing show, period. So, I mean, I had a lot of fun with it.
Wow. Now, I got to ask you, Andre. Now, we've been talking about your sax playing and thing, but when did you realize that you could sing?
Whoo, boy, that's funny, because I think all my career I have always had singer envy. You know what I mean? Because I used to hate the fact that I'm playing sax, right, and I'm on stage, and I'm playing my heart out. I'm playing every note on the instrument. My leg's flying up. I'm on my knees. I'm playing. And a guy singing comes out and goes, help! And women start throwing panties on the stage.
Okay.
You know,
hey.
I used to have a problem with that. Like, all that playing I did, and you say, pray God you can cope. Like, are you serious? And panties? So, I was with Maxwell, and he was sometimes he would be late for sound check, and I've always been a fool, I've always been a little crazy, and so sometimes I would get on the mic and sound check for him, like just goofing around, right? So one day, of course, you know, we're doing our regular routine. I mean, the sound guys, they're ready for someone to sound check. You know, Maxwell is running a bit late. So I get on the mic and I go, ah, you know, the beginning of this woman's work, right? So when I finish, he walks up. He was there all the time. He goes, oh, okay, you can sing, huh? You got to sing in the band. Up singing in the band. I was like, no, I'm not. I got real business. Like, that business degree came alive. I was like, it is not in my job description. I was not hired for that. You know, I got real business. Like, and he was like, well, I'll pay you a little more money. And that was it. It was like, okay, cool. A man. So I have to really give him credit for that, because he inspired that part of me, because, you know, I was strictly about saxophone. I was strictly about, you know, just, of course, trying to be a better musician and do my thing. But, you know, me singing background with him, and, of course, I had to study him, because, you know, I was singing a lot of parts with him, you know, and for people who've seen Maxwell's show, you know he's about perfection. So you're not gonna be on stage with Maxwell out of tune. I'm sorry, it's just not gonna happen. So I put the saxophone, not that I put it down, but I really had to start studying his vocals and start studying, you know, my background parts singing, so I could make sure I was on point, because then I was singing with other background singers, and this is what they do. I mean, we're talking about, I mean, the girl is still with him, Latina, and there was Michael Dickerson and another cat named Khalid, and these are incredible singers. I mean, Mike is like, was the biggest guy in the band, real buff, looked like he walked out of a GQ magazine, and he could sing higher than Maxwell, you know? And so these are the people I was singing with, of course, and then I was playing sax. So it was a challenge, but, you know, I've never walked away from a challenge, so bring it on.
Well, let's bring it on, and let's listen to one of the vocals on the CD, the title track, My So Fine. Tell me about this one.
Well, you know, that's a fun song for me, because it's reminiscent of back in the day. You know, Mike, you can probably relate to this. You know, how that girl you may have grown up with, and maybe she stayed a couple of doors down from you, and, you know, she had on the big bifocal glasses back then, and the hair was never combed. And, of course, you didn't think she... Okay, you know what I mean. You didn't think she was that cute then, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then all of a sudden you grow up and you come back from college and you know you're there on a spring break and she knocks on your door and says, "Hey, Mike," and you go, "Who in the hell are you?" And it's her, and it's her, right? And your mouth drop and is dangling by your ankles, right? And you just can't believe that she turned out this fine. So that's a part of the theme of that song. And then there's two meanings. You know, "my so fine" means really two things. It's "my so fine" in admiration of someone being fine, right? And
mm-hmm.
then it's a little bit of possession, but to say "my so fine," like you're mine and you're
mm-hmm.
so fine. So,
mm-hmm.
so that's the breakdown of that song.
All right, from the title track from "My So Fine." One of my favorites from Andre Delano's "My So Fine" CD. That was the title track. Love your voice. Love your voice.
Yes, that was fast.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Man, okay, Miss Anita, your next question.
Okay, Andre. I know you write a lot.
I'm sorry, Anita. Turn down your volume.
It is now. Oh.
Okay, thank you.
Is that better?
Yes.
Sure, what's happening? I haven't.
Yeah, I'm still getting feedback. But that's okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Andre.
Yes.
Since you write a lot of your own music, and a lot of them are for personal experiences, do you write or produce for any other artists?
You know, I haven't. I started out doing that. You know, I started out actually, you know, writing for some gospel artists and stuff like that. But what was happening was, you know, none of the music was coming out because either they were looking for a deal or trying to get signed or, you know, using the song as a demo song, and I wasn't seeing any kind of residuals coming from it. You know, so it's just, you know, you do these songs and you put all this effort into it and nothing was happening. So one thing I knew that I would have control over is if I just, you know, put that energy into myself, you know. And so all of my two of my CDs, Full Circle and My So Fine, they're all original music, you know, that I've written and produced myself. But it's funny now that, you know, I've done those CDs, I'm actually getting back into recording and producing on other people. And one guy in particular, he's 18 years old. He's out of St. Louis, Missouri. His name is J. Ron Black, and he has a coming soon page right now, jronblack.com. And also his song is up on CD Baby. It's a song called 18, and you can go on and check it out and listen to it on iTunes under J. Ron Black. And the song, I said the song is 18, so, you know, it's just put in the number 18. Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited about it because, you know, we're building momentum with him, and it's a pop CD, and he is amazing. And I'm real excited about, you know, the potential of his career.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I have a phone call for you. Okay, I'm getting feedback from somebody. Don't know where it's coming from. Area code 909, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello.
Hi, what's your name?
This is Barb Susan.
How are you, Barb?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Say hello to Andre.
Hi, Andre. How are you?
Hey, Barb, how you doing?
I'm fine. You were so great last night. Awesome.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And I can just tell Anita right now that you did not jump on the table, but you jumped over that stage a couple of times, and you're sitting on these women's laps. So.
Yeah, well, you know, Anita gets mad when you tell her too much stuff like that, so I try to, you know, conceal it.
I had to do that for you. Anyway,
okay.
I'm glad you liked the picture I posted.
Yes, it was an amazing picture, amazing.
Thank you. I'm working on the other ones right now. I posted some of James. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah, your music is absolutely amazing, and your
I really, you know, last night was just, you know, an amazing night overall. I mean, and Barb, by the way, guys, was the photographer from last night. And if you log on to my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Andre Delano, you know, you'll get a chance to see the picture. And, yeah, please send out some more, post some more, because, I mean, they were just amazing. So I really
thank
appreciate
you so
that.
Much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, what's your question for me, Barb? Let's get deep.
You really want to go there, huh?
Oh, no. Actually, no. You're scaring me right now. No, it's okay.
Now, you're a man that can hug. I love to hug, so. And it looks like you were born with that saxophone.
Wow.
You know, it was a God-given gift to you.
Thank you.
You've just been blessed.
Well, thank you, Barb.
Well, you're welcome.
All right.
I'm going to get back to working on these pictures so I can put some more on your Facebook here.
Oh, cool.
Hopefully
cool.
To see you soon again.
Okay,
you're
thank
welcome.
You, Barb. I appreciate that, sweetie.
Have a blessed day. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
Right.
All right.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I have a question from Anisha in the chat room. She wants to know, who do you listen to? What music is in your iPod?
Oh wow! You know, it's so much. I mean, it's so diverse, really. I mean, because I actually, I like Billy Ray Cyrus. I like Billy Ray Cyrus, and I'm gonna tell you why. I was doing a television show. It was the Megan Mullally show, and Megan was the I can't think of her name. Karen. Her name was Karen on Will and Grace. And we did a show, and Billy Ray Cyrus came on to promote one of his new CDs, and he was talking about Miley Cyrus and the show and everything like that. But he did this song called Joe, I Want to Be Your Joe. And on the show, I actually had a chance to sing background with him. And sometimes when you just hear about artists or you may listen to their music, but if you don't really get into it and analyze and kind of dissect the music, you don't really have a full appreciation for it. But because I had to learn this song, I got into it and I really learned the song and what he was talking about and his writing style and stuff like that. And I just really got into him, you know. I mean, so, you know, he's like an artist that I really do check for and listen to. I'm a big Akon fan. I love, you know, his stuff is always very, very simple, but it always has an edge. I love him. I'm infatuated by Beyonce. I mean, I don't mean like that, Mike. But I mean, I don't mean like that right now. but you know, there's a certain strength, and not just her voice, but just her character that comes through her music. You know, you can tell that she's been through some stuff, and she said, you know what, that ain't gonna happen to me. I mean, that's what it sounds like when I hear her sing. So Faith Hill. I mean, my God, D'Angelo is incredible. I really run the gamut. I mean, I love Rihanna. Classical music. Actually, this is funny, but I drive to classical music. Because you know, I never have road rage. I have been driving past someone and they thought I was driving too slow. This just recently happened. A girl put on the side of me and she called me everything she could think of. Everything she could think of. Luckily, I had my classical music on. And the thing about classical music, because you know classical music is what's playing behind the cartoons. Remember back in the day, you're looking at Bugs Bunny and you didn't probably pay attention, but that was classical music behind Bugs Bunny, right? So I looked over at this lady and all I saw was Bugs Bunny. That's all I saw. I saw Bugs Bunny, you know, saying some things maybe Bugs shouldn't be saying, but that's okay. And I smiled at this lady, and I drove on, and she had this look on her face like, what is wrong with him? But, you know, ladies, you don't know this, but classical music saved you. Classical music helped you. It rescued you. Because if I was listening to some Ice Cube, it would have been a bit different.
So,
wow.
Man, you are crazy. Yeah. You are crazy.
Well,
we've got about 8 minutes left. I want to get this in because I want to ask you this one question. And I know that I read a lot of articles on you. And, you know, a lot of people ask you all the time, how do you change the face of smooth jazz? So I want to ask you that and go into your answer. Go ahead.
Okay. 8 minutes, first of all, ain't enough time, okay? I thought this show was going to be 2 or 3 hours. Okay.
We have to have you back. We definitely have to have you back on.
Yeah.
Anita and I didn't even get through half of our questions.
Exactly. Oh, okay. This is terrible, y'all. I mean, okay, when is the next segment starting? I'm just kidding. Okay, so to answer your question, how do you change the face of smooth jazz? Right now, you know what? I am concerned, and I'm going to be real honest with you about this one. And for all the listeners out there, you know, I'm just going to be real candid, and I'm just going to be real honest about this. I don't feel like I have been, like, totally accepted within the realm of smooth jazz. I'm just going to tell you, this is just my personal feelings. I don't know how people view this or my fans view this, but I feel like I'm still on the outskirts, and I feel like the people that come to see me, that they are true, and they're going to be there until, I mean, my career ends, really. I mean, because the fans that I have, they come and they sing the lyrics when I'm singing the lyrics. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is not a fly-by-night thing. The people who come to my show, they study my music, and they look at the lyrics, and they read them, and I appreciate that, you know. But as far as changing the face of smooth jazz, you know, at one point, that was kind of a goal of mine, and I thought that, you know, if there was more diversity within the genre, and if they had maybe like the urban stations do a pump it or dump it, let the fans choose, let the fans, you know, if music is playing on the radio, instead of not announcing who's playing, announce it and say, do you like that? If you like that, call in. That's how the urban radio stations do. And when people call in and they say, I like something, well, they keep it on, they add it in. If they say dump it, well, you ain't going to hear it no more. But
right.
But at least, at the very least, they allow the fans and the audience to help make that decision, as opposed to just the system making that decision. So right now, as we know, more than several smooth jazz stations are falling off. They're changing genres. There's a crisis right now. There's a crisis right now, and let's just be honest about it. And you know, either I'm not sure, can that be saved, or do musicians, you know, who do smooth jazz need to start looking for another alternative? I don't know. You know, that's just the question I'm posing. I do know that the cruises are strong. I did the cruise this year, Michael Lazaroth out of St. Louis. It was incredible. The shows were amazing. I just did a jazz festival, BB Jazz Festival, in Huntington Beach. The turnout was amazing. It was great. So people still yearn for this music. You know, they still yearn for this music. At radio, something, in my opinion, needs to be done. It needs to be done. Mm-hmm. So you know, I mean, you have a lot of people listening right now who are going, who is Andre? I've never heard of Andre Delano. You know, and I apologize for that. I wanted you to know who I am. Trust me, I wanted you to know. But you know, for those, my career has strived off of word of mouth. And so if someone tells someone else, come see Andre, or you got to go see Andre Delano because the show is off the hook, that's what I live on right now. That's what I live on. And I'm very happy to live on that because I have true fans that come and they know my music and they love my music and I love them. So, you know, if I had to continue my career this way, I have no problem with that at all.
Okay. Andre, seriously, yes. Can we seriously schedule you to come back on so Lonita and I can finish the rest of our questions and play some more music?
You see, I have no problem verbalizing.
Yes, seriously. I will be in contact with you to reschedule for a part two because I definitely want to have you come back on. And,
Andre Delano, the sequel.
That's right. Because we have questions we didn't even get a chance to ask, and I wanted to play more music. Yeah, I wanted to play more music. So let's definitely get you back on.
No. Terry.
Yes, sir.
Let me say something else. Don't play any more music right now. Let me just say, as far as an artist, you know, where I come from as an artist. Okay, I say this because you know. It's important to me, and it's what, you know, like at the very top of the show, you asked me, who is Andre Delano?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, you know, Andre Delano is definitely an artist, and I'm going to tell you that just straight out. I write my own music because mm-hmm. I do have something to say. I I'm getting, of course, the lyrics of my music. You know, if you read it, you can really understand where I'm coming from. And I believe that's what an artist does. An artist sacrifices it all. And they don't try and save face. They just tell you like it is from the perspective that they see it. So when you come out to one of my shows, there's no question that you leave knowing who I am, and you leave with a bit of me because that's what I mean. I give you all of me, and of course, you know, you take what you can use. You know what I mean? You take what you can that can benefit your life. Because I think that's what it's about. If you're not giving, if you're not making a difference, if you're not changing, if you're not willing to make a risk, you know, what are we doing? What are we doing as artists if you're not willing to put yourself out there? Just playing something pretty and calling it. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think that's, in my opinion, I just don't think that's it. I think that, you know, people need to know what you've been through so that you can strengthen what they're going through. So. Mm-hmm. That's my take on it. I appreciate you guys having me. I definitely would love to come back and do this again. Mike, I know we're going to be talking. Terry, I know we're going to be talking. Anita, I know you're going to be reprimanding me. but that's okay. That's okay because I didn't stand on any tables, but I did jump off the stage about 5 feet. Yes, I did because I believe in shock value, as you know. So thank you guys so much again. And for all the listeners out there, I appreciate you tuning in. Thank you for calling in. I love you from the bottom of my heart, and thanks again.
And I will be in touch to reschedule. I definitely will.
Okay.
Yes, no definitely. Thank you so much, Andre. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay.
All right. All right. That was Andre Delano. His current CD is called My Soul Fine. You can find that on his website, andredelano.com. It is also on Amazon.com, I believe. Is that correct, Andre?
You can find it on Amazon. You can find it on iTunes. You can find it on my website, andredelano.com. So if you put in my name, you know, it'll come up.
All right. His last name is spelled D-E-L-A-N-O, Andre Delano. All right. Anita?
Yes,
we had such the hour went by so fast. Man, the hour went by so fast, yeah. But we're going to get Andre back on so we can finish our questions, because you had a bunch of questions. I have a bunch of questions still. And so we're going to get him back on to talk more about his music and ask our questions. But I wanted to thank you for being the fan co-host.
Thank you.
Thank you, Anita.
Love you, Andre.
I love you too, sweetie. So are we still on air right now?
Yes, the show is still. We're not on air, but the show is still recording. So once it goes off air and it archives, the listener will hear the entire interview. So they will be hearing this as well. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's very nice.
Yeah. So while we're doing that, I might as well go ahead and close the show out with another song from the CD. Another favorite on the CD is Soul Tie. So Andre, tell us about this one, then we'll close the show out.
Well, you know, Soul Tie just represents that connection that you have with someone, and you don't know why you have that connection with them. You know, some things in life are just unexplainable, you know what I mean? And when you see someone and you feel like, you know, you talk to them for 2 or 3 minutes and you feel like you've known them for all your life. It's a deep connection, and you know, it's one that you just can't put words to, and that's why I call it Soul Tie.
Okay. All right. From Andre Delano's My Soul Fine CD, this is Soul Tie. You have been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz with your host, the Jazz Queen.
Mike Reynolds.
And Miss Anita Ross. And we look forward to talking smooth jazz with you next time. Again, from Andre Delano's My So Fine CD, this is Soul Tie.